Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Phone lines open at 800-795-9565. Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, Blake Bortles, Jay Cutler, Derek Carr, Eli Manning, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Matthew Stafford, Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill, Alex Smith, Tony Romo, Andy Dalton, Sam Bradford, Ryan Mallett, Philip Rivers, Joe Flacco, Nick Foles, Johnny Manziel, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, and Drew Brees. What do they all have in common?
They're all in the NFL.
They're all quarterbacks who ran for more yards yesterday than DeMarco Murray.
It's even better stat.
Right?
Is that every quarterback in the NFL, by the way?
No, Peyton Manning's not on here.
Oh, who are we missing? I was going to ask next.
I mean, Eli's on here. Wow. Kirk Cousins is not on here.
There can't be many missing.
Tom Brady. Newton, Kaepernick, Taylor, Bortles, Cutler, Carr, Manning, Eli, Winston, Bridgewater, Stafford, Mariota, Tannehill, Smith, Romo, Dalton, Bradford, Mallett, Rivers, Flacco, Nick Foles, Manziel, Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees. All of them as quarterbacks have one thing in common. They all each rush for more yards in their games this weekend, because obviously Smith played on Thursday night, than DeMarco Murray did yesterday for the Eagles. DeMarco Murray came in his rookie year in 2011, averaging 5.5 yards per carry. So far this year, he's averaging 5.5 yards per game. All right, we will get to that tale of woe in a moment, but first let's bring in Ben Jones, statecollege.com. And Ben, did you ever think on a September 21st that we would be sitting here in our lifetimes saying that Penn State is ranked in the top 10 in national recruiting in football and men's basketball?
That's been a question I've gotten asked a lot, and I have to say, honestly, I never envisioned that happening. Certainly, everybody knows the job that the Pat Chambers has been able to do on the recruiting trail, but still to be able to have a top 10 recruiting class, even, you know, at this stage of the recruiting period, is an impressive achievement in a lot of ways. Just the fact that Penn State basketball is able to steal away a headline on a Friday afternoon going into a big football weekend, that's a big thing for the program. I mean, headlines can't play basketball for you, but certainly recruits can, and that's been a big week for Penn State on that front.
Yeah, you'd be amazing. In fact, if you liked it, we could call Will Muschamp down at Auburn and ask what talent means. Talent means a lot to how you end up coaching. I mean, no question. You bring it in, you've got a better shot. Simple as that.
Yeah, and that's really been the biggest thing for this recruiting class and the recruiting class that just got here. Is it's not so much that it's one player. You know, Penn State's always had the DJ Newbills, the Taylor Battles, the Jeff Brooks. There's been one or two guys that have been a little bit better than everybody else. But when you can have a recruiting class that's a couple of those guys, a couple different guys that are going to be able to score, play defense, defend on in different parts of the floor, give you different options. You know, that's how you build a winning program. That's how you get a good team. And you look at this roster and you say, you know, if everybody signs on the dotted line, they come to Penn State, they stay at Penn State. You know, you look at Shep Gardner's senior year, 2 years down the road from now, and that's a pretty good looking basketball team. So, you know, that's top to bottom. That's off the bench. You know, talent is everything. And the fact that they can get talent in deep and get a lot of it is really crucial to what they're trying to do right now.
Right. All right. In looking at the game Saturday night, it was my opinion. Now, have there been moments in the last 16 games under James Franklin where they played a little better offensively or a little better defensively or whatever. But I felt overall that's the best all-around game to date I have seen them play. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was definitely up there. I think that for every good thing that Penn State did on Saturday, there were a couple moments where you go, why did this look the way that it did? Or you know, some drives that stalled out and everything. But you're going to get that in every game. I don't think there's any doubt that, every team has those drives where things just don't click and what have you. But I think from the standpoint of, did you produce on the field? Did the defense do its job? Did special teams, which especially has been an area where Penn State has struggled over the past couple of years, even with Sam Ficken's story, I think that that's one of the best special teams performances, especially from the punting perspective, as far as Chris Gould is concerned, and covering one of the best punt returners and kick returners in the nation to hold him to negative 1 yard. I think all around, you look at that performance, you look at what the offense was able to do to get over 300 yards on the ground to really have Barkley and Lynch shine and have the offense move the ball down the field a couple times when it had to. You know, there's no doubt that it could have been better, but there's also no doubt that it was one of the better performances we've seen from Penn State in a while.
All right, so let's get to the offensive performance. What have you seen in the development in the offensive line as they make strides forward? Where are they making strides forward? Now, obviously, we all know a month from now they're going to have to be better, and a month after that they're going to have to be better. I mean, that goes without saying. But what are we seeing in progress there?
I think the biggest thing is really confidence that these guys are working together a lot better. I think that, you know, Penn State's done a good job of moving away from its weaknesses. They're not exactly trying to go after Paris Palmer's side of the ball every down, but I think at the same time, you know, he's doing a much better job picking up his reads and figuring out what's going on. They're communicating better. I think Angelo Mangiero at the center's position has done a good job sort of anchoring everything with his presence there. So I think when you see these guys get some confidence under their belt to be able to go now 8 quarters without giving up a sack, and really for the most part, you know, Hack hasn't been pressured all that much. So I think, you know, to have that span of time where things are going well, where you're moving the ball, and I think as much as pass protection is important, I think, you know, for an offensive line to be able to open up holes for 75-yard runs, to open up holes for Barkley to dance around, I think that sort of stuff is huge for the confidence, even more so than giving or not giving up sacks, rather. So I think the confidence, the communication, and really just the execution has been way better than it was against Temple. But on the other hand, I suppose, you know, it couldn't have gone much worse than it did against Temple. So there was only up to go from there.
What does it mean to the defense to get Grant Haley back into the mix the way they did?
Oh, I think it's huge. His athleticism, his ability to kind of roam in the secondary and go around and hit people, to be a physical presence, to get those interceptions. I think that's big. I think it also gives them depth in that area where maybe they're not as deep as they would like to be or hadn't been as deep as they would like to be. So to get him back, it definitely brings some confidence to that position. You know, obviously when you have Jordan Lucas back there, it's not as though that unit is in Marcus Allen as well. It's not like these guys don't know what they're doing, but to be able to have a guy come in and really give you a deeper rotation in that area and to know that you're not having a drop-off in talent if one of those guys goes off and another one comes on, I think that's huge, especially as you go down the road, down the season, where guys are going to get banged up, guys are going to get tired. And really, winning comes down to how many good players can you march on the field. You know, Penn State might be able to have the first teams to hang with Michigan State, but it comes down to who's your second team guy, who's your depth rotation guy, and the more and more healthy bodies Penn State can get in any part of the on the field is really key. So getting Haley back is not only a confidence booster and a skill booster, but it also gives them some more depth in that area.
You know, they striped the stadium out. The atmosphere was really fabulous, firing fireworks up when the team entered, and the crowd loved that. You bring recruits in, so what kind of impression does one get from what they thought?
I think you have to be impressed with an atmosphere like that. You know, we've been around it long enough to sort of, you know, all of these big games sort of feel the same, but even I was like, wow, they're shooting off fireworks. That's quite something. And the stripe out, you know, the fact that they're able to do it without handing out any shirts, you know, I think everyone was a little curious how it was going to go just because it's hard to get 100,000 people to do anything the same way.
Right.
And follow directions, and the fact that that happens, the fact that the fireworks go off, and you get a, you know, pretty enjoyable game to watch that Penn State ends up winning. I think the atmosphere has always played into what recruits think about Penn State. I know Jason Kabinda said after the game, you know, he visited when he was committed to Syracuse, and he came up for a Michigan whiteout, talked to Troy Reader actually at the time, and left that week and knew that he had to be a part of all of this. So I think, you know, as much as winning and losing sometimes plays into recruit decisions, I think at the end of the day, and you can provide an atmosphere like that and you can provide an experience like that, that speaks a lot more to, you know, what a recruit's going to get himself into than maybe what the final score is of the game that night that he visits.
One area that I'm sure they want to clean up, and yeah, and this is something you can clean up just on your own. They've had a couple of unsportsmanlikes the last 2 weeks. One was on Hamilton, one was on Allen. There was the sideline thing as well. Just the mere importance of not giving up real estate that you don't have to give up.
Oh, it's very big, and I think that comes with being able to keep your emotions in check, and that's the sort of risk that you run when you know, Franklin and those guys, like that coaching staff likes to run a competitive practice experience, a competitive game. They're high emotion players and everything. So when you have that, you have to be able to keep it in check. You have to be able to know, you know, when enough is enough. And certainly, you know, a few penalties here or there are not going to hurt you.
Right.
Maybe in one game, and it doesn't speak anything to them as people. But when you get into a game, especially when you have an offense that's struggling to move the ball at times, 15 yards can flip the field for you eventually. You watch, you know, the Eagles are a bad example because they can't move the ball in either direction, but they give up a penalty. You know, they end up giving up a score off of a penalty. You put that in the Penn State perspective. You know, 15 yards here or there can be the difference between extending a scoring drive and stopping you know, an offense for a punt and getting the ball in better field position. So, you know, I think there's no doubt that you want to clean up those areas, but that really just comes back to, you know, keeping your emotions in check when you have to.
Right. I think the big part for them is that they're great teaching moments for James Franklin, because none of those penalties in reality hurt them in either game at all, zero. But at the same time, you can point out, hey, there'll be a game where it does. So, hey, look, celebrate with your teammates and just move on.
Yeah, and that's what Franklin said at his press conference last week when someone asked him about Deshaun Hamilton's celebration penalty. He goes, you know, I don't have any problem with him calling that. You know, I saw the film, I saw what he did, and you take those 15 yards and you go, you know, this is an experience where you go, maybe it doesn't hurt you this week, but, you know, you score a touchdown against Ohio State and give up 15 yards on a kickoff or give up 15 yards after a big play in either direction. You know, that's the kind of thing that will cost you a game. And I think, you know, like you said, that's a great teaching moment, especially for a team that in a lot of areas is still pretty young.
Ben, as always, a pleasure. Thanks a lot for the time.
Sure thing, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's September, and Sunbury Motors Kia is not going to be fair. We're going to be fabulous. Fabulous as in fabulous financing. 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 Kias, as well as our 2016 Sereno and Forte. Fabulous prices. Every new Kia will be deeply discounted and prices clearly marked. And we have 96 new Kias to choose from. Fabulous dealer. Sunbury Motors has been a trusted name for 100 years. Fabulous warranty. All new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So hurry in and visit us on the fabulous strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. Oh, and if you still want fair, we'll meet you in Bloomsburg at the end of the month.
Financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
And now we get to the Kevin Herr questions of the day.
KHQD.
Hold on a second here. There are a couple more interesting things in your questions. Oh, look, there's a sale at Penny's. All right. Just kidding.
I don't have to take this abuse. There's hundreds of people waiting to abuse me.
I think you underestimate.
Okay. Let's get to the Penn State game. I haven't really talked too much about that. Let's see. Here it is. What did PSU do differently this week to avoid sacks? How will Penn State use Barkley and Lynch?
Can you say it a little more interested than that?
No. How much did the fullback help the running game? Temple's D, the best they've seen so far. What improvements have you seen? Okay. Number one, Penn State has played in the 16 games for James Franklin. Penn State has played maybe a better game here and there.
Okay.
Offensively. Penn State here or there has played a better game defensively. Not so sure they played a better game yet off special teams-wise under him. But this was the best all-around game that his team has played since he's been the head coach at Penn State. Best all-around game. Will this best all-around game be good enough a month from now? No, it has to be better. But that's what you're doing. You're building something here and pushing it forward. So that best all-around game is going to be a better all-around game a month from now. But to this point, through 16 games, this is the best all-around game that his team has played to this point. Let's see. What did they do this week to avoid sacks? Same thing they did last week. They protected them. They haven't given up a sack since the Temple game, you know. They've given up no sacks since the Temple game.
I heard that. That was talked about on the telecast, too, yeah.
Yeah, so they haven't given up any. Like they're just protecting better, and it's not a question of keeping in a tight end or chipping or whatever. I think they're just going out and they're executing better.
And that was my question. Are they keeping in a tight end, or are they doing something? Nah, is there a blocking scheme different? Or
it depends. Depends on what they send. Now, this week they're going to have a real challenge there because they're going to see a defense this week that you just don't see that much of, a 3-3-5. And that brings with it, Joe, Susan, and I were talking about identifying which guy is the Mike, and that then sets protection, it sets how you run, and so forth. Well, by Christian this week, identifying which guy is the Mike, it's going to be really important because now against a 3-3-5, it then identifies where your linemen need to have their blocks as to who has what assignment. That'll be important. There are going to be certain things that are obvious, but it's going to be up to the guards as to what they, you know, it really is going to help the guards more than anything else as to which way they go on, even on running assignments, as to what the Mike happens to be because of a 3-3-5 alignment. Let's see. How will Penn State use Barkley and Lynch going forward? The same that you've been seeing. Lynch will start the game. Barkley will get a significant amount of time. Lynch will get his spot in back from time to time as well. I think what you saw against Rutgers is pretty much the pattern you're going to see. Lynch has done a great job Lynch has become a better blocker. One thing they need to do, though, guys, they need to start utilizing these backs in space as receivers. I think that's going to be important moving forward. And it's not just screen passes, but you can dump, you know, I'm talking about checkdowns. Checkdowns can become big plays in an offense, and it's a pitch and catch kind of play. That, you know, Barkley and Lynch in space will be invaluable. You're not going to see any change in how they're using them. You need more than one back in today's game. It's just the way it goes. San Diego State has two very good running backs. Pumphrey is really good. Donnell Pumphrey is really good. Then they bring this guy Chase Price in, and Chase Price is another good running back. There are times where they play both of them together. Not often, but they'll play both of them together. And they've got this kid, Rashad Penny, who is a bigger version of Brandon Polk that they like to use in jet sweep action. So 19, 20, and 22 are the guys to watch offensively. Smith's really struggled as a quarterback. He's a transfer out of Kentucky, who actually had some decent games at Kentucky, but has not had one yet at San Diego State. Use of a fullback, they did not use one against Temple, that's true, but actually they've been using a fullback here. They don't have a Zordich kind of guy, but, you know, even Bill O'Brien would use James as a fullback, Kyle Carter as a fullback. Last year, James was used extensively as a fullback.
There's been a lot of that lately where there's no real fullback, but the tight end comes in that. I've seen that a lot at the FCS level, too.
Oh, why not?
No, it's not an issue. I've just noticed it more in the last year or so.
Guy with size who's already told that he has to be a blocker anyway, who can run. Doesn't matter to me who it is. Does not matter to me as to whether, but maybe they've done more of that, the eye package, that's fine. And then, you know, you can utilize a lead blocker. That's no issue at all. And it's been a tight end. Wilkerson was really good at it. James did a lot of that last year. They just have put it back into the package and utilized it. Temple's the best thing they saw for improvements that they made, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's they're used to game speed. I think that's really helped them a lot. I think more than anything else, Temple did a great job of blitzing, sending numbers. And again, when you don't have a preseason scrimmage against somebody else, that opening game brings with it some issues that a lot of people, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you get exposed in a couple of areas, and it gives you that game to correct. That's why game one, the game two improvement in college football is completely different than high school football, not even the same realm, and the NFL. In the NFL, you got preseason games. In high school football, you got two scrimmages. College football has no scrimmage. That's why the opening games of the year, you're kind of like, all right, let's see here. And suddenly you get exposed in a couple of areas. You aren't quite ready in a couple of areas. Well, that gets exposed. Then you have an opportunity to correct it. High school football, you got two scrimmages, you know. You're not corrected by the opening game. You got an issue. You don't like me saying that, but facts are facts.
I have never disagreed with you. I think you can still make improvement from week one to week two in game mode, but yeah. I agree with you 100%.
You get two scrimmages to correct issues.
Yeah, the only difference is that you play a lot of guys in a scrimmage you probably wouldn't have in a game.
Yeah, that's the second half.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Markets Rated Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have gone out for years, decades, put their customers first to find them the right insurance at the best price. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hubble's Wharf, where once again, in another gutsy call by Tom, they're letting Kevin drive a car.
And this week, we're going to be talking more about the Hyundai Tucson. The Hyundai Tucson Sport is what we're going to be talking about this week. All-wheel drive, so you'll have no problems getting around this winter. Plus, with gas mileage hovering into the 29 to 30 back and forth around town and highway combined, you're not going to pay a ton as well at the gas pump. And it's a nice, smooth, quiet ride. As a matter of fact, this vehicle, I thought for a minute, had the start-stop technology. You know, when you come to a complete stop, the engine actually shuts off to save fuel, and then when you take your foot off the brake, it'll actually start back up again. This did not, but it was so quiet, I had to look at the push-button start to make sure it was still running. And with push-button start, you never have to worry about locking your keys in the vehicle because the key fob will be detected. And you won't have to worry about anybody being able to push the button and start the car without the key fob, because if it doesn't find the key fob in the car, it won't start it. Simple as that. Check out the 2016 Hyundai Tucson SUV. It is all-wheel drive with a backup camera as well. It's Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Be looking tomorrow for a periscope view of the vehicle. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr for the details on that.
All right, Saturday, probably the best all-around game yet to date under the in the James Franklin era. The special teams outstanding. Chris Gula did a great job. It kind of felt like for about, I think, how many times have I brought up Gula's name in the last month on the show? Probably, what, 5-6 times?
Easily.
Talking about the competition between he and Pasquarilla, that I thought Gula was actually punting really well. And you saw it. The difference between the two is, you're saying, well, why has Pasquarello been punting more? Pascarilla's getaway is a little bit quicker than Gula's. Gula has more height, better distance, but Pascarilla's getaway time is a little bit better. So, you know, that's one that you have to make a decision sometimes on that as to where your comfort level is with your protection. Now, it's not a great difference, but, you know, but this is a game where tenths mean something. And that's part of it. The coverage was really good. Joey Julius, same thing. Imani Oruwariye made a really good play downfield to tackle Grant. Scott, nice kickoff return. Tompkins gives them some jump and some pretty good judgment, I think, on punt returns. He ran up on one, saved them about 20 yards the other night. Very big. Defensively, getting Haley back really helps. You feel like you lock down that corner now. That gives Bob, I think, more options to dial up some things. Because when you can get really good lockdown corner play, it frees up the other nine guys as to what you can do. And I thought they're very aggressive. A.J. and Zettle played really well. And Nassib did what I thought it would do. I think I said on Friday the big matchup was Denman against Nassib, and that Denman's a very good run blocker, but as a pass blocker, Nassib had the opportunity at hand with a good night to eat him up, and he did. It's just the way it is. That's the value of doing some tape studying and kind of figuring a couple things out. And you could see it on tape that this could be an advantageous deal for Nassib. I thought, once again, Kabinda, Bell, and Reeder, that's a good linebacking trio right now. Offensively, run game, really good. They stuck with the run game. It got sloppy out there in terms of, like, it's raining, getting wetter and wetter. Stuck with it. And Christian Hackenberg managed the game really well. Remember, some of these play calls at the line are run-pass options. And Christian has to make a decision as to what he looks at, as to what they're going to go with. The 75-yard run by Lynch, Christian put them into that play at the line of scrimmage. And that's something that's important and is not talked about often enough. Yes, statistics are important, no question. And at some point, the vertical passing game will probably have to get involved in what Penn State's doing here, without a doubt. But I just liked what I saw on Saturday night. Now, the important thing is that it's step three. Now you go to step four, that's San Diego State. Different challenge coming up because, really, it comes down to 19, 20, 22. Those are the three guys you got to watch for on that San Diego State offense. And San Diego State, by the way, really good special teams. Really good. Punt return already this year for a touchdown. A kick return for a touchdown. The punter average is like 43.5 a punt. They also have their place kicker has only missed one all year and has a 54-yard field goal. I mean, their special teams are fine. The defense at 3-3-5 look, which is just completely different. Munson, 54, Calvin Munson, outside linebacker, really good. He could play anywhere, anytime, moves well, leads the team in sacks, two interceptions, fumble recovery this year, just a good football player. Jake Felley had to sit out last year because of a torn ACL. He's back this year at the other outside linebacking spot, and their people at San Diego State will tell you he hasn't really lost a step. And I'm happy for him that he hasn't because you want to see everybody have the opportunity to play healthy. Secondary, one really good corner who's had a really good year so far. Rest of the secondary kind of struggled a bit, and their passing game on offense has struggled. So, that's the setup for this week. Do you have any other questions? The stripe out was, I give the fans all the credit in the world on the stripe out. They do it on their own.
I thought it looked good. Yeah.
Now, I'm saying, but the fans had to do it themselves. Okay? Penn State did not provide anybody with a shirt.
Right.
The fans had to go online and find out what their section happened to be, and they did it.
Like until it rained.
Everybody. Yeah, well, I understand that. But you know what? But still, even then, most people had clear ponchos on. And it still looked really good, even with the rain. But the fans did it. They were tremendous. They were actively involved in the game. seemed like a really loud crowd to me. I mean, I've had sets on, so
it was
really
a loud
know.
Crowd. As a matter of fact, there were some decibel meters that were well into the hundreds at certain times during the game. So it was a good primetime crowd.
And they stayed. I mean, it
even though the rain was
stayed.
Coming. Yeah, that's a good point.
They stayed, which I found to be, considering the conditions as the game went, remarkable. But then again, I think Penn State fans in the 30-plus years I've been around here have been remarkable. So,
by the way, I know you already know this, but they have announced the October 3rd game against Army as a noon kick. So it'll be a 10:30 a.m. airtime here on WKOK against Army on the 3rd of October.
Yeah, it'll be an ESPNU game.
That stinks because now I won't get to watch it.
So for both of you out there who have ESPNU, enjoy it. And let's get something straight so the fans understand this, okay? Please. I've tried to explain this so many times. All right? Games, once you start the season, kickoffs are announced 12 days in advance. So, when's the Indiana game going to be? We'll find out next Monday, okay? 12 days. You are allowed three times during the season, the network, for three six-day windows, which they would announce on Sundays. You're allowed three of them. Normally, they save those till later in the year. But these games are all right now, probably until the end of October, are all going to be announced, except for Ohio State, which we know is 8 o'clock. Everything else is going to be announced 12 days ahead on the Monday.
Well, actually,
I don't understand. I don't understand why they haven't announced San Diego State. Oh, for goodness sakes. This has been done for decades.
They actually, I'm surprised at how many times they're already there. I mean, the next game that does not have a kickoff right now is the 24th of October, and that's the Maryland game. I'm surprised that many games have a kickoff time.
Yeah, Indiana's what, noon?
Indiana is a noon, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, but these games were done in advance in the summertime. And then once you get to the season, they're all 12 days. So Maryland, for example, Maryland will be announced Monday, October 12th. Okay?
And I'll tell you what, if Penn State were to upset Michigan or Ohio State and then the Michigan game rolls around on the 21st in Michigan State, don't expect to see that game announced until 6 days beforehand.
What, Michigan State?
Yeah, Michigan State, or Michigan for that matter.
Michigan State, I can tell you with 95% certainty, is a 3:30 kickoff. Michigan, I can't tell you what the kickoff is. I don't know what Michigan would be. But at Michigan State, in all likelihood, it's a 3:30 kickoff. Why? Because they'll put Ohio State and Michigan at noon. And they don't want those two games head-to-head.
I heard them on the broadcast say that on the television side, that, and I didn't realize it was like only the 15th or something like that night game at Penn State?
Yeah, where the game started after 7 o'clock at night.
I just didn't realize that. I mean, there have been a few night games every year now, and I never realized that there were that few before then.
Yeah, but you got to remember. Yeah, but here's the reason why you think there have been more. When you get to October, it gets dark at 5 o'clock.
It's a night game by second quarter.
Right. That's what I mean. All of a sudden, the lights are on, and you get to the second half of the game, and the game's under the lights, so it feels like you're playing a night game. You know, for example, this week won't feel that way as a 3:30 start in September. The sun, I think, goes down a quarter after 7, so that game's going to be in sunlight most of the time, even though they'll put the lights on. But when they get to a 3:30 start, let's see, where are they going to go? So you go 3:30, then you go noon, then 8, then Maryland. Say, for example, Illinois happened to be a 3:30 start on October 31st. Well, that's going to feel like a night game.
Well, anything after November will feel like a night game, too.
Sure. Right. So, I mean, that's why I think the perception is there have been more.
I was surprised by that. I didn't realize there were that few. I think he said 15 is the number that ran into my head.
Yeah. 15? I don't think it's 15. I thought that was the 20th.
Oh, I didn't think they said that many, but
I think that's the 20th. The first time they ever played a night game at Beaver Stadium with the permanent lights was the opener in 1986 with Temple.
Did Penn State ever play
That game kicked off at 7 o'clock.
Did Penn State ever play a Thursday night game that wasn't a bowl game? I thought there was one.
No, they never have. It was scheduled.
Ah, that's what it was.
They were going to play Virginia on Thursday, September 13th.
Right.
Thursday night game, Virginia, and then that game was postponed to December 1st because of the September 11th terrorist attack.
That's the one I was thinking of.
We were supposed to do the talk show that Tuesday night on the 11th with Joe, fly the next day the 12th, and then play the game the 13th and then come back. But the September 11th terrorist attack obviously stopped everything in its tracks, justifiably so. Stopped everything, and then that game was rescheduled for Saturday, December 1st, down in Charlottesville. So that's the only one. One of Joe's biggest wins ever, maybe, I mean, he always told me, he says that is probably the biggest win he felt personally in his career, was they beat Miami the second game of his second season because he had lost his opener. And he was, I mean, Joe as a coach was 5-6 after his opening game of the second season. And they went down to play Miami in that heat and humidity, and that's when he started to make the move of getting all the sophomores in that he had recruited because freshmen weren't eligible back then. He started getting his sophomores in, and they beat Miami. That game was actually a Friday night. So, no, they have not played the Thursday game. Except for, you know, as you said, like a bowl game or something like that happened to be on a Thursday. They have one scheduled.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking. I thought there was one scheduled, but I didn't. I thought it was after 9/11, and that was the one that was postponed.
Okay. Well, final break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. PurdyInsurance.com. Dave in Sudbury on the line at 800-795-9565. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
What's going on?
Well, I just got one question after watching the game. Are they going to put the retro freshman in and actually just not just handing off to the running backs and actually try to develop him a little bit just in case Hackenberg goes out with an injury?
You know about Trace McSorley?
Yeah.
First of all, Trace McSorley take. I mean, one of the more important things, Dave, that you get. And I was glad to see him get in the game because you do need to get some game speed. So he got what 4 minutes worth of game speed on Saturday night. But the reps that you see from him in practice, which are invaluable, game speed, of course, is invaluable, obviously. But McSorley is a very good quarterback. I would be very comfortable if Trace McSorley got in the game for Penn State. I would not have a lot of concerns.
Well, because I've heard a lot of good reports about it. I figured, but the guy can actually play, you know, in a game situation, not just amongst your teammates. I mean, a lot of good it does, you know, having a kid on a scholarship who's not going to play.
Well, he's going to play. He's a redshirt freshman right now, Dave. So, I mean, they didn't play him last year for a reason. So he's only, three games into his redshirt freshman year. So I wouldn't panic too much yet about whether or not he's playing.
Well, to be honest, coupling that with watching Hackenberg, he's been, you know, to be honest, sputtering a bit, to be truthfully honest.
Well, no, he's not thrown the ball well, but what he has done well is he's managed some things pretty well at the line of scrimmage. He's managed protections the last couple of games really well. He's got them into the right place several times really well, things that a veteran quarterback could do. Now, throwing the football, yes, Christian needs to do a better job of throwing the ball, no question.
And I didn't lambaste him for that first game because it was a jailbreak.
Oh, I mean, that was constant. Yeah, that was a problem.
Yeah, guys around him, he didn't. Whether a wide out his watch or throw out a cat. I mean, it was ridiculous.
but they've improved that, at least, you know.
Yeah. And they've got to keep that going. They've got to keep that going because you've got to be able to.
Yeah, well, when you said about San Diego's that 3-3-5 defense, I didn't know if that'd be such a good thing for Trace McSorley to be in that deal. Because you got to know, like your keys or what's going, because that's a very unusual defense.
Well, it's very unusual, and it also puts a lot on pre-snap for the quarterback. He has to get them, identify which guy he properly thinks is the Mike, which then sets the line play, sets the pass protection, sets the run-pass stuff. I mean, and he has to do all of that at the line of scrimmage that gets them into the right spot. Because they'll obviously, with a 3-3-5, the one thing Rocky Long likes to do is he likes to false pre-read a lot of stuff to make you think he's doing one thing when he isn't. But you can also catch them in it, too.
Yeah. I just thought, when you said that about that 3-3-5, it says, well, I kind of wanted McSorley in, on Saturday. But that'd be kind of, asking an awful lot for a guy that kind of, he's not used to that kind of stuff, so...
Thanks, Dave.
Well, from the Better Late Than Never files, here are some of the highlights.
The pitch to Barkley right. Fouls Mangiaro, 15 to the 10. Barkley to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Saquon Barkley and the Nittany Lions cap a season-long 90-yard drive.
See, I like that one. That's why I wanted to make sure I got it in. It was a good call.
Great.
You didn't like that one?
That's a...
I want to listen here. I'm going to play this one. I want you to tell me what Jack's talking about here.
Hackenberg in the shotgun on first and 10, their own 25.
Oh, that's open.
He'll give it a Lynch 30, 35, 40, 50, 40. Goodbye. Akeel Lynch, he is gone. 75 yards for a Penn State touchdown.
Did he know the play that was called there, or was that play just starting in motion and he could see it?
The play was starting in motion. He saw it.
Because it was just...
He says to me later, he says, how about the great insight from your color analyst? I said, you're worth it. I said, you're worth every dime.
That was the one that I wanted to, because I'm listening to that, I'm like, he either knew that was coming or just saw the whole thing open up in front.
You saw the whole thing open up in front, so.
You sounded like you almost knew what was going on there. It was actually pretty good. I'm actually impressed.
They just point me toward the field and I talk.
Just follow the brown thing over there.
I told Matt Millen that the other day. He couldn't stop laughing. I said, well, really? I said, that is the job, isn't it?